Canada HR News on December 19, 2022. I'm Elena Bobireva. In today's episode, we talk about employment updates from Ontario, Alberta, and Manitoba. The latest reports from Robert Half about turnover drivers and from LifeWorks about inclusion in the workplace. We will also discuss other topics. Stay with us to get the latest HR updates. We start in Alberta. The province is adding 80 apprenticeship seats in skilled trades at Northwestern Polytechnic, so more students can gain job-ready skills to support provincial economy. Apprenticeship-style programming combines in-class learning with on-the-job training, providing students with job-ready skills upon graduation. Although Northwestern Polytechnic is already delivering 783 seats for the 2022-2023 academic year, there is increased demand for apprenticeship programs. The additional seats will be distributed in the programs that train heavy equipment technicians, industrial mechanics, electricians, and automotive service technicians. Most of the additional students have started their programs, and Northwestern Polytechnic is currently working to increase instructional staffing to expand waitlist for spring program starts. The Manitoba government met with hundreds of qualified international candidates in person and thousands more online at job recruitment fairs in France and Morocco from November 17th to 23rd to recruit talented workers to come to Manitoba and help meet the needs of the workforce. The forum, which takes place both in person and online, is an annual event organized by the Government of Canada that allows skilled French-speaking and bilingual candidates to learn about immigrating to Canada. As a result of connections made at the forum, Economic Development Winnipeg reported that 3,850 job seekers joined the Work in Manitoba jobs portal between November 17th and 30th. Manitoba employers have started connecting with job seekers from the forum through this portal. More than 690 Manitoba employers are registered in the free portal, representing a variety of sectors, including technology, manufacturing, construction, and transportation. There is no cost to employers to post jobs or fees for the candidates to review and apply for jobs through the portal. The Ontario government is launching a first-of-its-kind program to make free naloxone kits and free training available at workplaces where there is a risk of staff witnessing or experiencing an opioid overdose. In 2021, 2,819 people died from opioid-related causes in Ontario. This is the highest number on record. Of the workers who died from opioid-related causes last year, 30% were employed in construction, by far the most impacted industry. Bars and nightclubs have also seen increased opioid usage and accidental overdoses, often because of recreational drugs laced with deadly opioids. For up to 2 years, Ontario will provide free nasal spray naloxone kits to businesses at risk. Businesses can determine if they're eligible for the program and find additional information on accessing naloxone kits and training at ontario.ca/workplace-naloxone. The Ontario Network of Injured Workers Group, ONIWIG, has filed a court application challenging the Workplace Safety and Insurance Board's, WSIB, cost of living adjustment for 2022. Claiming it doesn't abide by the law. The rate for 2022 was set at 2.7%, but the ONIWIG says it should have been set at 4.7%, resulting in a 2% loss for workers. The WSIB adjusts workers' benefits every year for inflation. The ONIWIG says the WSIB has not been following the rules for calculating the cost of living adjustment set out in the Workplace Safety and Insurance Act. The WSIB says it uses an averaging method similar to the one used by the Canada Pension Plan to calculate cost of living increases. The Workplace Safety and Insurance Act states it should be based on the CPI at the end of October 2021, while the WSIB is basing it on an average calculated over the course of 12 months. The WSIB states that using the average over the year rather than a point-in-time change in CPI is a more reasonable reflection of the inflation over the entire year. Federal public servants will be required to return to the office for 2 or 3 days a week. The Treasury Board President stated that in-person work better supports collaboration, team spirit, innovation, and a culture of belonging. The plan is not to go back to the way things used to be, but to reimagine the workplace. The return to work will be fully implemented by the end of March 2023 and will be overseen by the government's Chief Human Resources Officer. Public sector unions have strongly opposed a mandated return to the office for federal bureaucrats, saying their members have been working from home effectively for 2.5 years. The union is concerned about proper ventilation in offices, shared desk spaces, and whether guidelines for wearing masks will be in place. The president of the Professional Institute of the Public Service of Canada, Jennifer Carr, says that sending public servants back to the office at least 2 to 3 days a week could create a logistical nightmare as departments scramble to find space for workers. Carr said the federal government gave up some of its office space during the pandemic when many public servants worked from home. She tells the story of some employees at Statistics Canada who returned to their Ottawa office and ended up working on the floor and in the kitchen. The government says that exceptions may be warranted in a very limited set of circumstances and they must be approved by management. Those possible exceptions include employees hired to work remotely before March 16, 2020, Indigenous public servants, and exemptions on a case-by-case basis such as illness, short-term operational requirements, or extenuating circumstances. Employees who are unable to work on site can request accommodation on a case-by-case basis through their department. LifeWorks latest report reveals that Canadians with disabilities are more than twice as likely to indicate they cannot be themselves at work. Workers with disabilities and those who identify as LGBTQ2+ are nearly twice as likely to receive negative comments from their manager. And Canadians with disabilities are 70% more likely to not feel cared about at work. LGBTQ2+ employees are nearly 50% more likely to report their ideas are not valued at work. LifeWorks concludes that these findings indicate it is time for organizations to reevaluate how workplace is experienced by diverse groups of people on a day-to-day basis and what opportunities and safe spaces are needed for employees to share feedback and concerns. These are the things that promote a mentally healthy workplace, but a workplace cannot be mentally healthy if there are vastly different experiences by employee groups. Robert Half's biannual job optimism survey of more than 1,100 professionals in Canada shows that half of respondents are currently looking or plan to look for a new role in the first half of 2023, which is up from 31% 6 months ago. Those most likely to make a career move in early 2023 are Gen Zs and millennials, technology professionals, employees who have been with the company for 2 to 4 years, and working parents. 29% of respondents are considering quitting their job to pursue a full-time contracting career. Returning to a previous employer is also a consideration, with 40% of professionals willing to go back to a former company if given a salary equal or higher than their current pay. Money ranked as the top motivator for making a career move. Workers said the main reasons they plan to look for a new job in the first half of 2023 are higher salary, better benefits and perks, better advancement opportunities, and greater flexibility to choose when and where they work. Robert Half researchers recommend that employers looking to land top talent in 2023 refine and streamline hiring processes and showcase their company culture. When applying for positions, top turnoffs that cause candidates to lose interest are unclear or unreasonable job responsibilities, poor communication with the hiring manager, and misalignment with the company culture and values. And this was Canada HR News on December 19, 2022. Please leave us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcast. You can also find us in Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other platforms. For more information on the topics discussed today, see the episode description and connect with us on Twitter at CADHRNews or LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast.